So, my topic, advancing global health information sharing. I'm sure we can all appreciate the importance of doing that. And I'm going to talk about comprehensive planning and a forum that I think is particularly valuable to us for achieving that, and that's the International Organization for Standardization, the ISO Technical Committee 215 on Health Informatics. And one of its work groups is developing a capacity-based e-health architecture that I'll give a brief description of, and then I'll move on to some recommendations. So why is it so important that we do comprehensive planning? Well, for one thing, when we look at the public health challenges, we know that in the past year or so, I've heard Dr. Frieden and Dr. Kevin DeCock, who's director of the Center for Global Health, and of course, I'm aware, and you may well be aware, of President Obama's policy directive on United States Global Health Initiative, all pointing to the need for in strengthening health systems internationally. And beyond that, there are other public health challenges that we're all aware of that that merit some attention. For one thing, the changing global environment, the world as we know it inside of us right now, is going to be changing a great deal more than perhaps many of us think. For example, we're all aware of the unprecedented population mobility that's only going to increase, but the rapid population growth is another factor that, when you stop and think about the population growing from 6.7 to 10.5 billion in the next four decades, just consider the impact that that's going to have on this planet and our living together on this planet. For one thing, we know it's going to accelerate environmental pressures. There'll be more collapsing ecosystems. We know the coral reefs and other, you know, the Arctic ice melt, and it's just, you know, the canary in the mine shaft. But when our population increases to 10.5 to 11 billion, the pressures are going to be so much greater. So environmental change, global warming, and pollutants, not only in the air but the sea, the die-off of fish in the sea for food sources. Clean water is going to become a scarcity. I read in The Economist magazine several months back that 25% of China's waterways are not suitable for human contact. So fresh water, arable land, food. In the next four decades, it's going to be too interesting. And then when we look at our contemporary health system strategies, what we find is that we're quite happily and busily and costly building health information silos. Everybody's pretty happy. Most folks, most organizations are happy to continue going on into the future building inflexible information silos with little comprehensive planning, and goodness, who would want to collaborate broadly. And we also have inefficient health information sharing. It's always difficult to pull information together if you have an emergency event. If you work through an emergency event at the agency or wherever you may work, you know how difficult it is to pull the right information together quickly. So what we need to do is approach information systems, health systems development more strategically. We have to start thinking more strategically. And among other things, that means adopting information systems development best practices. They're widely known. Comprehensive, holistic analysis and planning is a key. Collaborative development methodology. I specify methodology here because managing collaborative development with widely distributed, dispersed partners across the globe, for example, or even within a large organization, can be quite a challenge. Well, adopting best practice collaborative development methodology can simplify things a great deal. And then what we really need to do in public health institutions is the integration of public health science and informatics. I'll utter the sacrilegious words that excellent science is not enough. if you can't deliver it, if you can't pull the right information at the right time to recognize a pandemic that's just starting, if you can't collaborate rapidly, if you can't quarantine quickly enough, then you can have the best scientists on the planet, but they'll be too late to the party. So we need to emphasize collaboration, and that means that we leverage global knowledge and expertise. We never have enough knowledge and expertise within any single organization. But across the globe, there's a tremendous amount of global expertise. Folks are dealing with the same kinds of issues that we are. If we learn how to collaborate and work together, we can learn from and adopt and adapt their successes. We can foster standards adoption and synergistic growth, like you saw with the World Wide Web, and work actively with key international organizations. And this is a point that I'm next going to drill down into. The WHO, the ISO, the International Organization for Standardization, and the International Medical Informatics Association are organizations that are very effective and have a great deal of experience at fostering international collaboration to address the key public health issues and health issues generally that we face globally. And I just have a definition at the bottom here. Public health informatics is the application of information, computer science, and technology to public health. So it's not rocket science. There are various definitions, but I thought I'd throw that in case this is a new term to you. So, as I mentioned at the outset, the ISO's TC Technical Committee 215 on Health Informatics is a tremendous opportunity because the International Organization for Standardization is the world's largest developer and publisher of international standards on anything, the pen in your pocket, your eyeglasses, virtually anything you can think of has gone through the ISO for defining the standards that the product that you buy is going to deliver on what it's supposed to do. The ISO is really a federation, I say here a network, is a federation of national standards institutes of 160 countries. The American National Standards Institute is the representative for the United States or the member of the ISO. It's a non-governmental organization that forms a bridge between the public and private sector, and it enables a consensus to be reached on solutions that reconcile the requirements of business and the broader needs of society. So why do international standards matter? I'll save a little time and just go to the example. Any of you who have traveled internationally who could walk up to a cash machine in an airport and use your cash card from your local credit union or bank back here and pull out in the currency of the nation you're in, and that is drawn against your account back here like that, that's a pretty clear example of how beneficial it can be to have international standards implemented. And why do we need health information standards? Those public health challenges that I described at the outset, if we're going to have any real hope of being able to move quickly enough, to be well-informed enough and collaborate rapidly enough to address them, we're going to need seamless global health information sharing and collaboration. So the ISO Technical Committee 215 on Health Informatics addresses standardization of information for health and health information and communications technology. The general areas that it covers is healthcare delivery, disease prevention and wellness promotion, public health and surveillance, clinical research related to health services, very broad areas. It promotes interoperability and the reduction of redundancy so that we don't have to all be developing the same thing over and over again to the waste of many, many, many millions of dollars. It has 9 workshops addressing areas like data, security, electronic health records, and so on, all the same things that we're struggling with back here. And its secretariat, as I mentioned, is ANSI, and it's currently chaired work group, or the TC, the Technical Committee 215 on Health Informatics, is currently chaired by Chris Shute of Mayo Clinic fame and HL7 through 2012. Work Group 8, of which Beatrice, to our gratitude, is one of the co-chairs, initially, I guess, started out addressing electronic health records, but it's also been developing a capacity-based e-health architecture roadmap. So what on earth is that? A capacity-based e-health architecture it's a holistic operational plan, and I'll come to that in the next slide. Sorry, I jumped ahead. But it's currently under development in this WHO-ISO partnership that I mentioned at the outset, and it's to inform architectural structuring of national health information systems. Its genesis is from the July 2008 Rockefeller Foundation meeting in Bellagio, Italy, on making the eHealth Connection Global Partnership Local Solutions. And there were members from certain African nations in the interoperability group who articulated the burden of ongoing, unguided, and uncoordinated eHealth deployment of siloed systems and the need for harmonized long-term strategy and standards feasible in low-resource environments. And so ultimately, one of the results of their plea was for this the TC215 of ISO to address development of a capacity-based e-health architecture in this work group 8. So it's an internationally developed comprehensive enterprise architecture plan for health systems development that for harmonization of health systems development globally. Imagine that. High-level guidance to on-the-ground development decisions. And, for example, contextual support for Health Metrics Network, which is a WHO-sponsored initiative you may be familiar with, and other health systems development frameworks. And I have a definition of enterprise architecture here, just mine. It's a methodology, which is just a system of methods, for comprehensive operational planning across functional, organizational, and jurisdictional boundaries. In other words, to reduce the complexity of getting many disparate and widely distributed partners to come together and develop an operational plan on how do we get to where we need to be. So the capacity-based e-health architecture is coming out with we have a draft technical report called Capacity-Based E-Health Architecture Roadmap, Broad E-Health Systems Guide, that includes Broad E-Health Systems Guidance. And this is just almost a random selection of some of the areas that it covers: an e-health architecture maturity model, governance and national ownership, public health and disease surveillance, integrated data repository in the HMN framework, electronic health records and repositories, environmental monitoring, healthcare supply chain, privacy, security and safety regime, communications technology infrastructure, and it goes on and on. And essentially what it is about is we're developing this roadmap that covers all the essential areas that need to be addressed in order for there to be harmonization of all these systems that are being developed in the many nations around the world. And it's a work in progress, and we're always looking to elicit more involvement and input. And from there, thanks to one of the members who's developed this excellent tool, you can drill down from one of the categories in this roadmap to the related standards. So, two recommendations. Suggested CDC actions. I'm a CDC employee. First of all, I recommend that we all explore, and not just CDC, but I recommend that we all explore the value of TC215 work groups to the CDC mission. And attend the International Night this coming Wednesday night from 5:30 to 9 in the Centennial Ballroom 1 and 2, and to use that as an opportunity to initiate productive working relationships with the people you meet there. Also, regarding ISO TC215 and health informatics, see if you can engage with them and begin to leverage global expertise and contribute your expertise, and ultimately membership is go through ANSI. You need a recommendation as an expert in a particular area, and then you can become a member. And also the ISO TC 215 annual meetings, we need to start sending CDC staff in all various areas of expertise and to plan future hosting at CDC. And we need to encourage broader CDC engagement. And I have a statement here of my own that's that we will continue to achieve a mere fraction of what we can and must do in the absence of strong public health informatics collaboration. I'm absolutely certain of that. Right now, we're achieving a mere fraction of what we as an institution could accomplish in public health if only we knew how to leverage public health informatics and collaborate with our international partners. So we need to increase public health informatics collaborations with our international partners. And if we do that, we can collaboratively establish global standards at a much faster rate, and that will foster synergistic growth of an ecosystem of widely shared health information system service components. The techies can take that and run with it and develop shareable components. And that would eliminate the need for costly redundant development anywhere in the world, including here. And it would enable rapid health information systems advances in low-resource countries because we could assemble shared services instead of having to build from scratch the same functionality over and over and over again at great cost. And then we need to encourage broader national engagement. We need to champion a common strategy for global health systems standards to HHS and the Office of the National Coordinator. And we need to align and coordinate CDC, national, and global health information systems development. So what are the benefits to CDC? Why should CDC make the effort? Well, it would increase CDC's global public health leadership, and it is welcomed. It would increasingly base international health information system standards in on-the-ground experience, because there are a lot of folks here at CDC who spend a lot of their time out in the field, on the ground, struggling with public health issues and informatics issues and so on, that the more on-the-ground experience we can bring to bear in these high-level collaborative standards development and e-health architecture roadmap development initiatives, the better it will be. We can share, if CDC, if it gets more fully engaged, actively engaged, it can share expertise and resources and increase synergy and lower costs. Not bad. Accelerate global health information sharing, which we know we must do, and increase public health emergency response agility. If we advance global information sharing, then rapid discovery, alerting, and quarantine in a dangerous infectious disease outbreak is within our grasp. And thereby, through all of these, we can advance achievement of CDC's mission priorities. So, do we take questions after each presentation or at the end?
At the end.
At the end. Okay. So, thanks for your attention.